Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Today's Bible reading comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 15. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden of God has lain on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good when they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever he has already been and what will has been before, and God will call the past to account. Amen.
Well, let me lead you in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we bring the worship of our lungs to you. And now we bring the worship of our minds to you. And we pray those two things would combine to bring the worship of our actions to you as we go out into the week and as we, from Monday right through, that what we've said, what we've thought, what we believe will translate into something that what we do. And we leave the world a better place because of our actions and the way we live our lives. So speak to us in this moment, we pray. May our hearts be filled with your things. May our minds understand your word to us at this moment. And may we be your people walking every single day in accordance with your will. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it is a privilege, as always, to speak to those who are gathered here. And I'm hoping one of these days the blue masks will disappear, that they will go, and that we'll be free from the constraint of smiling, and that I can see your smiling faces. So those who are online, well, you're just online, and we welcome you and glad that you've connected in this particular way. You know, you are church too, and we're glad that that this medium is available and you can be part of what God is doing here and wherever you are. I remember being in a car with a mentor of mine back in the late 90s. Things were very different back in the late 90s, if you remember. And we were in the city and we drove past a man who was puffing on a cigarette. If you remember the 90s, as pretty well all of us will, it wasn't actually that bad to smoke. Do you remember that? Yeah, okay. I mean, Shane Warne could go off the cricket field, could have a few darts and then come back on and clean up the poms. You know, it was sort of accepted really, wasn't it? We both looked at this man smoking on King William Road, and he turned to me and said something I will never forget. He said, "A while ago, you used to be able to do that and get away with it. I mean, your body could cope with the added stress of smoking, but not anymore." That was the 90s. And here we are, 2022. And so I'm thinking 25 years later, nothing has improved in terms of stress, has it? At all. And you and I all know the stresses and the pace of life that we live has increased exponentially. In fact, so much so, we don't need anything like smoking to push us over the edge, because life does that for us. As Nick introduced last week, we are doing a series called Seasons. And rather than us just downloading a whole heap on you, we could have done a six-week series on this. We're going to pace ourselves and give us all time to work through it and to think through it. And we're going to pick it up at the change of every season. So guess what Tuesday is? It's autumn. And I see autumn leaves changing already. Leaves changing to autumn already. I'm like, what happened to summer? Who took summer? Is it one of you guys? Did you take it? And like, seriously, where did it go? Did we have one day over 40? One lonely old day over. Careful what you wish for, Jonathan. So today I have the privilege to speak on autumn in particular. And here's my topic for today. I want to speak in terms of the seasons and in terms of autumn. I want to speak on margins in autumn. Margins in autumn. Now, I know that I'm speaking to a few people in particular this morning. And it might be you. If it is, you'll know it straight away. And if it's not, you'll know it straight away. Okay? So maybe if it's not you, you can store this away for a season when you need it. Clear? We're okay with that? All right. There's a general sense amongst us that we have reduced our margins to unacceptable levels. But autumn offers us the chance to be taken in a new direction and begin this season off a new basis. I remember, as I know you do all too well, that feeling when we first shut down 2 years ago, when everything was cancelled, everything was stopped, and we all stayed home. Remember that? You do, of course you do. I know some of you are not as busy as others, but for many people, it was a great feeling of relief. And we mistakenly thought, some of us mistakenly thought, if this is a pandemic, can we have more of it, please? Oh boy, did we have lots to learn. The feeling of relief came from letting go of the reins, stepping off the treadmill, getting off the rat race, and stopping the frenetic activity that was absorbing all our time. And many of us realised just how tired we were. Well, that tiredness has not gone away, and it's the pace of life that causes our issues. We need margins in our lives. Ironically, that first shutdown was autumn 2020, almost 2 years ago. So when we talk about margins, what am I talking about? Well, obviously, it's that thing that your school teacher would make you draw with your ruler so you didn't squash your writing all over the page. Or in my case, so you could, your teacher could put red pen over everything. It's the space between items. It's the buffer that enables a gap and ease of movement. It represents the opportunity to take new possibilities. Financially, it's the ability to meet unexpected costs, and so any wise person will factor in margins in their financial planning. In fact, reading both Dave Ramsey and the Barefoot Investor, which I'm working my way through at the moment, they both strongly advise that you create a financial margin. It's the bit around the door to your home that every carpenter puts in so that your door actually works and allows for the shrinking and the contracting of the season so you can actually open your door and either get in or get out of your house. In essence, it's creating a little bit of space so that everything is not so hard-packed and forced against each other that there's no movement and no leeway at all. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because you can imagine if you didn't have margins, imagine no margin in your Tupperware containers. You couldn't get the lids on or off. No margin in your fridge. Couldn't put any new things in there. No margin in your car seats. You can't get in or you can't get out. No margin in your bathroom or your bedroom or your bed. You see, we know we cannot work in areas without margins, but we don't seem to understand it in our lives and our lifestyles. Creating margins is just not as simple as stopping things. In fact, for me to say, just stop, is partially negligent. The machine is running and it's just not a matter of turning it off. And so at this point, I want to bring you in on the background of why we're preaching this series. And I know Nick alluded to this last week, but it was back in November or December that I was meeting with the elders, and one thing or another led to the point for the elders asking us to speak on margins or space or rhythms in our church life. And it came out of a discussion where I was reflecting on how fast-paced our staff life was and the strain and expectations that were placed upon the staff, on the church staff. And I was saying, it's too much. And the elders generally agreed that this was not just a church staff problem, but this is a universal problem for all of us. It was across the board, and they asked us to address it pastorally to you. And so that's what I'm doing. This, though, if anybody knows me, caused me an issue. My conundrum is that my life is being run full on, flat out, or the colloquial Australian, I love this term, flat out like a lizard drinking. I'm a driven man. I've taken way too many funerals to be laissez-faire about life and time. I'm happy to give my time, but I hate wasting time. And look at me, those people who know my life would say, I don't have much margins in my life. How then, this is my issue, am I able to preach a sermon on margins? How can I bring before the people of God something useful for them in their day-to-day lives that will help us all live as followers of Jesus? Something for me that has integrity as I present to you. So here is what I've come up with. We're going to sing our closings. No. Here is where I'm at this moment. And like all of you and all of us, it will change and morph, and I trust the Spirit of God will give me wisdom and insight and behaviour to suit as we change. But here is where I am in my thinking now, and I reserve the right to keep changing as we go through this series. And the last point I bring to you today is how I actually deal with it in my life. So be prepared for the last point. But I need to say this, that this sermon has caused me to think very deeply about my life and my pace of life. And I hope the same is for all those who run hard as well. And I know there are many in this room. The Bible reading that we heard read out by Matt is that beautiful piece of poetry and wisdom literature from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything. And used to be some years ago, that was the one that was read out at every funeral that I took. It's interesting how things have changed. But here we are being told about the common experience for all humanity. Here is generally what we will all face in our lives. Here is the shared universal experience. What we find here are things that we will all be familiar with. It is the wisest man that has ever lived reflecting on what rhythms, what seasons of life we will all face. He is telling us where our time will go and what to expect. In short, he is saying that there is a rhythm to life. Listen to that opening verse again. It's beautiful. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. I'm really encouraged by reading this. I find it energizing because it tells me that I'm not alone, that I'm living what others and many others before and presently and after me will experience and have done. I'm encouraged because it says there is a pattern to life. I'm challenged at the same time, deeply challenged, because it says life is not run flat out all the time. There is a change and a measure to life that is not particular to to a Western mindset. It tells me that God has purposed us for a variety of experiences and expects us to have some, if not all of those, in our lives, scattering and gathering, searching and giving up, silence and speaking, weeping and laughing. It's beautiful if you reflect on it. It's almost a rhythmic dance of humanity. So let me kick off by asking you the first of course, three questions at this moment. Three questions I want to lead into. And the first question is this: what season of life are you in? Because all of us are in a season. And some of us are in a child-rearing season. And some of you will remember that very well. Some of you are in the rearing teenage season. May the Lord have mercy on you. And those days bring with it a frenetic pace. But let me tell you, they don't last and they soon go by, don't they? Don't they? Some of you are in the retirement season. Others in the beginning season. Some of you have just started work and you're transitioning from school. Some of you have just retired and you're finding new purposes with your time and with your life. But all of us, we're all in a season. The reason for this question is that depending on your answer, you have different margin allowance. Now, it's clear from Ecclesiastes that some seasons require more work and more time than others. For instance, one of the verses says, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Anyone who's thrown a few stones know how easy it is just to throw them. But piling stones down on a path and the work required to bring them and to gather them and to collect them requires a huge amount of work, doesn't it? You can throw them easy, but gathering them is different. So what's the point of what I'm saying? It's this. Recognizing what season you are in will dictate what margin you can anticipate and expect in your life. Ecclesiastes tells us in colloquial Australian language that life is not a baseball cap. One size does not fit all. And so I want you to listen to this sentence, and maybe in your small groups, have I mentioned how important they are? Maybe in your small groups you can answer this question or this sentence, or you can throw around this conversation, and it's this: what happened to you last year is not the same as this year. What happened to you last year is not the same as this year, for the season has changed. So for me, personally, and this is a little bit of self-revelation sermon, for me, I've just come out of a season of grief. For me, last year was a lot of losses. But I'm now, as I recognise reflecting on this passage and writing this sermon, I'm now, as verse 3 says, I'm in a time to build. My season has changed. So recognising your season helps us with margins because it gives us a realistic expectation of what to expect in our present context. The simple fact is that you are in the midst of raising a family while working, you will not have a lot of margins in your life. And of course, it applies to other things as well. You need to take the small margins when they come, knowing that this season will pass and other seasons will come into your life. So let me build on this and give you my next question. And it's this: in every season, can you say no? I ask this question because most of us are people pleasers. And it's very hard for us to say no. In fact, there are two parts to being a people pleaser. Obviously, the first is to others. We don't want to offend. We don't want to upset. We don't want to let down. So we quickly and oh so easily, too easily, say yes when asked. We push ourselves sometimes to the limit because we innately want to please. At the core, most of us want to have acceptance of others, and so we do things to garner that acceptance, things that we should not do. I've had people call me while I've been unavailable to answer who want me urgently, desperately, like life-threatening desperately. And when I've got back to them, they said, oh, thanks for calling me back. It's okay. I've sorted it all out. Honestly, as a nation, we need to struggle by ourselves a little bit more. We need to make a little bit more effort, and we need to learn a little bit more resilience. That's a sermon for another day. I've been told, probably like you, that I'm the only one who can do something. The only one. It's you, Jonathan. If without you, it's not going to work. It's going to crash. It's a failure. It's not you. And then after great wrestle, I've said, no. And they've said, okay, we'll find somebody else. I'm not saying be hard. I'm saying evaluate. But also we need to stop, and this is the second thing, we need to stop pleasing ourselves so much. We please me far too often. This can be called discipline. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy because we say yes to ourselves and we know full well we should say no. This applies to our physical being, our financial world, and our personal indulgences. We say yes to staying up late or eating a little bit more when we know we are full, when we need rest, when our tummies are already satisfied. We say yes to that little purchase when we know it will push us financially, but put it on the credit card, we'll deal with it later. A mentor of mine once taught me that saying no gives immense value to your yes. The problem is that we find it really hard to say no. For me, in life, I've had to work really hard at finding out what my purpose is, what I'm here to do, what I must do. And I've had to think really hard over a long period of time to be clear about my life and where I spend my energy. Now that I'm well into my second half of life, it is becoming for me even more important. The bottom line, as I've been saying, is that we say yes to too many things, and some of those things are hurting our margins. Just because it's here doesn't mean we have to have it. Improving our focus means improving our margin. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're here or you've been here in this exact moment. If we try and do a whole heap of things and juggle a heap of responsibilities, then we overstretch and we cannot focus. We don't do anything right. And in the end, what happens is we fail on multiple levels. Or we do things poorly, which leads to frustration. And in the end, we crash and burn because of the practical and emotional repercussions. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. This sentence. When we get rid of non-focus things that absorb, and I actually crossed out the word waste, and I probably should put that word back in. When we get rid of non-focused things that waste our time, we create margin. Here's my third thing, my last question. And the question is this: does creating margin mean stopping? So this is where I've come to. And so my answer might surprise you, because my answer to this question is no. I don't think that creating margin means having time to lay on Bali beach, if you can ever get there again, for 2 weeks. So here's where I am right at this moment. I've come to learn that creating margin means creating space to do something that gives you life. For some of us, this means reading a book, going for a walk, preparing for something like a meal, or preparing for a holiday that's long awaited, that's in the future. Spending time with a loved one in conversation, making something. It's a big list, and my list would be very different than your list. It means having time in your week that is outside the normal rhythm or your normal work that causes you to go to your happy place. You know what I mean when I'm talking about happy place? Nod your head if you know what I mean. Most of you, yeah, some of you are asleep, that's fine. I'm sure, even though those of you didn't nod, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. That thing where you go and what you do and the time just hurtles past really fast. You're like, where do those 4 hours go? Where did that 30 minutes go? Is it ready? I've got to go now. I've got to go back to this whatever. It's where you are free and where you are content, where you're able to give and receive and all is fine. You see, I think a healthy life has a little bit of that every day. A little bit every day. A little bit more every week, increasing over a month and culminating over a year. We see that in the rhythm of the scriptures that we hear in the poetry from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The comings and the goings of life. I think you should always take your holidays in the year they are due. I think you should always have your days off for the week. I think you should always have a section in the month that's different to the rest. I think that every day, no matter how busy you are, there should be moments in that day that you should be able to grab some time to do that thing that gives you life. Now, the people that know me are raising their eyebrows at this moment. And for me, the struggle to present to you and to preach this sermon has culminated in something that I'm beginning to understand. And it's something that I haven't got it all sorted, but here's where I'm at. And it's this. It's the realization that I live my life and that I'm going with passion over balance. Passion over balance. Let me explain. The world around us, our culture loves balance. Things to be in balance. In fact, it demands balance. And one of the things the last 2 years have taught us is that life is not as balanced as what we thought it was. And it's caused a lot of chaos. I don't have a problem with living life in balance. I have a problem with the definition of balance. I believe God gave us the gift of life to use and to enjoy, to do, to make, to produce and contribute, not to waste and squander. A balanced life in some instances can be an under-realized life. I don't want to live in life in balance. I want to live life with passion. And living in passion is what brings me margin in life. I don't want to end my life and some young preacher standing up here, probably Matt, when my coffin's in the front there, saying, Jonathan lived a balanced life. You'd hear me turn inside the coffin. I want people to say, Jonathan lived a passionate life. That's what gives me meaning. And in the end, that's what brings me margin. I wonder if this is what verse 13 is about in the reading we had. Let me read from verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Verse 13, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Now, I'm trying not to make this all about me, but let me give you this example. The other Monday, I had a really full day in the office. And then, of course, Monday nights, once a month, is an elders meeting or church council meeting here at Seeds. Now, I could have easily stayed in the office and worked through until the elders' meeting. But that's neither balance. And while I'm very passionate about what I do for a vocation, that's not my passion either in this sense of what I'm talking about. Balance would say to me, go home, see the family, put your feet up for a bit, watch TV, kick around home, you know, just relax for a little while. But passion would say to me, yes, Jonathan, go home, see your family, enjoy them, but also lean into something that gives you life. So what do I do? I got changed, raced home from here, got changed, knowing that I was going to have to get changed again in another 45 minutes, got changed and did something on my little farm that gave me margin. That was in my area of passion. And in the end, it filled my bucket and it made me far more energized for the elders' meeting that night. Do you have a passion in life? Don't sacrifice your passion for balance. See if you can create your margin in your passion. See if this fills your bucket. Now, I know today that I haven't given you a biblical sermon. Next time, look out. But I've given you a helpful sermon in line with biblical principles. We were made to live life, weren't we? Come on, weren't we? Are you passionate about life? You're on the train, whether you like it or not. You've got it, so you might as well be passionate about it. And life is happening, whether you're ready for it or not. Three things. What season are you in? Where can you say no? And where is your passion? Use them to create your margin. I invite the band back up and I'll say a prayer. Father, we bless you for your word to us. We thank you that you've made us to live life with abundance, with fullness. We pray, Lord, that you would speak into this moment for us, that we'd hear your voice, that we'd know your way, that we would walk with passion and with margin in the fullness out of the life that you've created. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, what's the Spirit saying to us at this particular moment? Yeah, very, very soon, we've got a couple of ash trees in our yard, and very soon they're going to lose every bit of their leaves. We'll see that loss of different trees. And that'll go and it'll rest on the ground. That tree, in its God-designed way, lets go of what was and allows it to sit and mulch and create and ferment and then to degrade, and then it enriches for what could be and what will be, for the new growth. It needs that for the new season it's going to grow into. You know, what's the Spirit saying to our church? What season are you in? What do you need to say no to? Where's your passion to fill into and lead into? And what are you gonna let go of at this season, at this moment, as we walk into autumn? What are we gonna let go of so that it goes down and becomes the mulch, the humus for the new growth? My friends, may God release you and bless you and give you the courage to say no and let go and to work out and to live into the passion, so that you can be what God wants you to be as we walk into a new season, as you walk into a new season with your life. Go in peace, my friends, to love and to serve our great God. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.